Okay, welcome to the podcast, Cammie and Misha.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Stoked to have you. Before we get started, I just want to acknowledge I'm producing this podcast in the lands of the Comox, Clayhus, Homolka, and Klam and Nations. Grateful to be here. And just a quick shout out that today is May 2nd. I feel like this episode's going to come out pretty quickly, and so I just wanted to let everyone know that May 5th is Red Dress Day, and to learn what you can about the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls of Turtle Island. It's a big story. All right. Well, we're here to talk about Baba, so maybe we should start by just some introductions, some new introductions in the context of Baba. So why don't we start with you, Denisha, since you're at the top.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Denisha Jingles, and I am the intervening president of Baba. I have been a BCBA for, I can't even remember how many years, but since 2016, but I've been in the field for 17 years total. I started out in 2007 from St. Louis, Missouri, but I am over in Baltimore now, working with a wonderful team of individuals at Signature Behavioral Health, who just are focused on providing services in the most culturally relevant of ways. And that's a little bit about me. I won't ramble on too much, but I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more later.
Sure. And Cammie?
Hello, I am Camille, or Cammie Williams. I am also a BCBA since 2019, so right before the pandemic. I've been in the field since 2013. And I'm currently in the Baltimore, Maryland area, as my spouse's career just keeps on moving us from place to place. So yeah, I'm excited to be here as well.
Yeah, right on. All right. Well, maybe we can start by just kind of, Denisha, how you introduced yourself. What does it mean to be an intervening president, and why is there an intervening president?
That's a great question, Ben. So I am the intervening president primarily due to the fact that I was elected to come into my position in the middle of another term. Mm-hmm. Also, I am the intervening president as I was specifically requested and asked to come to Baba board as the president to help navigate some of the challenges that transpired in 2023. So I'm here specifically to help us realign and re-engage with our community. And yeah, that is really what the term means.
Great. So maybe we can just dig into sort of kind of what's been going on for sort of the last year or so. I mean, so for me, you know, I'm certainly by no means, as we talked about before we hit record, in the loop on most things, and that's okay. I was at the Baba conference last year. It seemed like a great experience for all. A lot of folks had a lot of fun, lots of really good vibes. So what else has been happening?
Yeah, good question. So first, I think it's important, like before we kind of talk about what happened, just to kind of really establish like the history and the foundational work that so many Black ABA clinicians really laid out for this as an organization. So, sure. You know, Kat Jackson, I just think she's a visionary. Mm-hmm. She sought to create a space specifically for Black ABA practitioners as there really wasn't one before. And so it all started from a Facebook group. And you know, over time, Baba was established as a nonprofit. So over the years, there have been so many people who have really just helped to lay out, again, that foundational kind of groundwork. So Davina Blair, I believe, was BABA's first president, and that was in 2018. And so just even looking back from 2018 all the way to 2024, I think it's really, really important to talk about really any organization from its roots to the present, because sure, like any other, like any organization, whether it's like at our jobs or otherwise, that many years of an organization is going to have very different kind of iterations of that. So even to Denisha's point, like she was on the board in 2018 as I think it was our conference chair at that time, right?
So I was part of the board originally, and I actually came to BABA as the affiliates chair, and I am the inaugural conference chair. So that started to happen a little bit after I first joined, but initially I came to BABA as the affiliates chair, which is what you all know as partnerships and state chapters.
Yeah, and then we had other people like DeHazard Allen, obviously Kat, although she was the founder of BABA, she was operating in roles such as a secretary. And so, again, I won't go through the full history, I guess, of all the people, but I say that to say, like, it's a really rich organization that, you know, I personally just feel really, really happy to be a part of. So kind of, I guess, to go back to answer your question, I first want to just confirm and validate that the conference was great. I think anytime we have ever had a conference that is really specific to us as a people, we really start to usher in a lot of our just ancestral roots. Like, we're communal people. We believe in work and play, and we believe in honesty and transparency and just being real. And so it was really in the spirit of that, that we put out the statement that we did at our town hall, really just to kind of let people know, like, we're here and we're just doing all of this work, a lot of work, really just to essentially, again, like, kind of create this new iteration of the organization that really realigns and recenters us with our values and with our community.
Right on, right on. Okay, so so really kind of going back to sort of what's been happening this year. So getting up to 2023. I mean, I agree. It was a fantastic conference. I've said on many times in sort of episodes I've published since I've been there that it was by far the greatest event I've ever been to, ever, of any kind. First off, it's unlike any other conference you'll ever go to. I do wonder, I've been following along with sort of the Black School Psych conference that just happened a couple weeks ago. And I imagine that one has probably got some similar vibe, just looking at some of the photos and some of the activities that they had kind of going on there. But, you know, I've spent the last few years, you know, interviewing a lot of Black folks and learning a lot about the culture and history and a lot of the things you folks have been talking about with this conference, especially around, you know, the collectivism and all these pieces and you know, things like Black excellence and Black joy and all these terms that I've been hearing, and you know, and they sound wonderful, but to actually be immersed in it and sort of feel it, especially as sort of a, you know, someone who's not part of the culture, it was life-changing for me. I'll never go to another conference again that's not centered around, you know, culture and collectivism. I think there are certainly a couple others, like I said, the Black School Psych conference I think would be cool to go to. I really want to go to the Society for Indian Psychologists annual conference in Utah with all the really cool Indigenous voices. But I think conferences like these are you know, really a model for what, you know, all gatherings should be like, and it looks like the one in this summer is going to be no exception. So we all agree it was a great event. And so kind of what's been happening sort of, you know, since the conference that's, you know, maybe led to some of the changes at BABA.
I don't want to belabor your point and your question, but I do want to just make sure to say, when we first thought of the conference, we knew that we needed a space, because a lot of us know what it's like to have to think about every single detail before you enter in a space that looks nothing like you. Mm. What are you going to wear? How are you going to do your hair? How are you going to speak? All of these things that make even just the thought of going to a conference aversive. And we deserved better than that. But a lot of people weren't focused on our experiences, right? And if no one else is going to do it, we're going to do it for one another. And that's what really building community is about. And so we've been intentional from the beginning. Again, as the inaugural conference chair, thinking about so many ways that we have been left out of the conversations and making sure that we embodied Blackness from the start. And so even though our first conference was online, community was felt, and people still talk about that conference to this day. But those are the threads that you see interwoven throughout all of the conferences that we've had since then. And getting us up to the point of 2023, as you go through times, if you've ever built a behavior plan, which all of your people have, I'm sure, you know that you start to see some procedural drift occur, right? You start to see a little bit of drift. And if I could just sum up what occurred in 2023, there was a bit of drift that happened. But one thing I know about our community is we're still going to have a time, right? We're still going to have a good time despite drifts. And so, you know, we put out information about what occurred at the conference that a lot of people weren't privy to. And I will say one good thing about the way that we love on each other is that we want to protect one another. We want to protect every single person that, you know, matches our melanin from more abuse and more harm. And so we really tried to do that throughout this time. And we tried to do that throughout the conference. So a lot of people didn't know what was happening during that time. And so, again, the information we put out, we stated that there, you know, was an incident that occurred. There were two incidents that occurred at that conference. And the first one was an aggressive verbal and physical attack that was initiated by someone who was closely connected to a former high-ranking member of our organization. It's nothing that we saw coming. And it was unfortunate that that occurred in our professional space, in our sanctified space, in a space that we really worked hard to build for one another. The second one was a series of homophobic statements that was directed towards one of our members from another attendee. Again, from the first conference, we've had a code of conduct. We've stated our position very clear. We do not tolerate any type of violence towards any of our members, any person who has worked hard to build the conference. And that didn't happen in 2023. And so those incidents revealed to us at that time that we have work to do. This is not what our ancestors would expect from us. And this is not how we want our organization to be perceived. But also really started to show us some of the brokenness that was present in our organization. And we wanted to really get back on track and get back to our mission, which is really the uplift of the full entire behavior analytic community, not just a few of us.
I think the thing too worth really noting is like, we never set out to just be a conference space. And so the reason why it was so important for us to take the time to really reflect, like deeply reflect before rebuilding, is because at the heart of it, we were trying to have a very human experience, not just this professional experience. And I think that white supremacy culture kind of teaches us and prompts and reinforces us to do things so quickly and just like to keep on going and to save face and to make it this kind of individualism that is so juxtaposed from who we just are ancestrally as a people and again, who we are as an organization. And so we knew where we were like, no, like at this point, we have to figure out how we can just recenter, how we can really reflect and consider just the cost, right, of all of this. And so, again, kind of under that leadership and direction of Denisha as our intervening president, we've been doing just that.
Right on.
I really, too, Cammie, one point that you made about white supremacy, and I want to underscore that really, because I was listening to our mayor, Mayor Brandon Scott in Baltimore, and he actually talks about this a lot, how, and I do want to give a trigger warning really quick because I am about to talk about violence. But he was 6 years old when he saw someone's life taken in front of him, and that community just expected them to just move on. Right. And I think a lot of us understand that desire to just tell people there's violence happening. Get back to work, get back to school. And that was his experience at that time. And where he's from in Baltimore, we host an event there every year. And when I say we, I mean the city, called Preakness. And these are when people who are not of that community come and filter inside of that community to celebrate and have a good time. Mm. But no one cares about what's happening to these people inside of their own neighborhoods on a day-to-day basis. Just get back to work. Just keep going. Just keep doing it. And this sense of urgency that white supremacy tells us we have to respond to, we couldn't do that. We are human beings, right? Acknowledging the totality of our history in this country, but also with each other. Like, I see you, that you're having a hard time dealing with what you just experienced at this conference. Yes, business needs to be done. And also, are you okay? Are you healing? Are you well? And we deserve to have those conversations with one another as again, as individuals. And so that was necessary for us to do in an individual way, but then also as an organization. Are we well? How can we heal?
What are some of the things that you've been talking about and sort of planning for kind of the future of BABA?
Yeah, so I will walk you through what my process has been because it's been a very detailed one. I will say that. Mm. I was asked to join as the president at the very end of November. Mm. And within that first week, knowing what I know about leading and also other spaces that I've been part of, I said, I'm going to create my 100-day plan. So Cammie and I sat down and we said, what are the things that we need to accomplish together? And there were tons of things, but the biggest thing also came from our board, who we had already been in communication with. And they were also letting us know the changes that they wanted to see. So this 100-day plan morphed to a 6-month operational pause. We could not accomplish all of the fractures. We could not repair all of the fractures that needed repair within 100 days. That was just way too aspirational. So on this plan, there were about 56 points. It's a 56-point plan to renew BABA and to really get our house in order. And that's what we've been doing. We have been committed to restructuring. We needed to gain insight on the state of what the crisis was for the organization. So that took a lot of cognitive work for us to really think about all of the ways in which we've gotten to this place. And we needed to train ourselves and train our board and make sure that they understood what it meant to actually lead up an international organization. So that is what we've been focused on, all of the points of our 56-point plan. And our board has been committed to it since the end of November. I walked into my first meeting as the intervening president, December 3rd, I believe. And since then, we've been meeting once per week at least. But we meet once a week for 2 hours, and throughout the week, everyone is tasked with specific items. And on Wednesday, we do accountability checks, because I believe that to get free and to have liberation for our community, we need to be accountable to one another. It's not enough to just talk about it. We have to be able to do. And so every Wednesday, we come into our chat that we have, and we say, this is what we've accomplished for our community. This is what we've accomplished for BABA, and we'll see you on Sunday. So that's how we've been working since December, and we'll continue to work in that way until we get to the conference. So we've been going nonstop. And, you know, even though we are technically paused operationally, we absolutely have not stopped working for our community, because at the end of the day, this is why we do what we do. It's for the stories that we all have told each other, the stories that we know to be true. It's lonely out here. It's been isolating. And we know that the space is sacred and we want to protect that. So we won't stop working until we can continue to revitalize the organization.
One of the things too, like Denisha just mentioned, the mental kind of aspect of it, it's really been this emotional process as well, because again, white supremacy kind of teaches us like, oh, I only know Denisha because she's a BCBA and like in this kind of hierarchical, I don't know how to pronounce that kind of way, right? But it's like, we really are trying to cultivate a kind of space and a kind of community where like, it's less about your titles, it's less about your accolades. Like, I want to know you as a human being, because only then like can we really actually make this kind of meaningful and impactful change on each other, to our communities. And I think for me, like that's been one of the best parts, like really kind of forming these intimate relationships with other Black people who just so happen to be behavior analysts or, you know, behavior technicians or RBTs. That's been, I think, the most rewarding part as well.
And is you mentioned intervening president and kind of joining it. Is the entire board new, or is or did just sort of the top level kind of switch up?
That's a great question as well, Ben. So we're not all new. I would say that a lot of us have interacted with Baba. All of us have interacted with Baba. I apologize. Since the beginning or at some point. There's no one new that joined our board. It's a restructuring and a reshifting. So for example, I was an advisor. I served in the past on the executive board, but once my term was done, I stepped to the advisory board. I was brought back from the advisory board to serve as the intervening president. So that's what our restructuring and reshifting looked like. But for right now, I don't know about you, Ben, but we don't invite people into our dirty homes. We clean up. We check the baseboards. We make sure that there's no, you know, cobwebs, right, before people come into our home.
Yeah.
So we did not open up the board for new people to come in to our dirty home, to our home where we needed to restructure. And please don't misunderstand what I am saying. Baba is a beautiful entity in space, but there are just, you know, things that we needed to tidy up. And so, again, you don't bring people in when you're not tidy. So we have everyone that's on the board currently served in some other capacity, but they've just been shifted around to ensure that we're really speaking to people's strengths. And for some of them, they kept their roles and we're not done restructuring. We'll continue to shift, but we have been working in a way that has been useful for us to get done with everything that we have set forth so far. So that is what our restructure looks like.
Right on. The announcement of the conference, BlackCon, I think for some folks seemed to come out of nowhere, probably because I think your initial announcement kind of came out of nowhere. You know, hey, we're still here. We're back. We're having a town hall again when we haven't had one for many months. And you know, I think a lot of people were in there just sort of wondering, you know, what's happening? What's it going to be? What's this going to be about? You know, and to sort of suddenly hear that there's a conference, and not just a conference, but a conference in, you know, a few months. You know, I think some folks probably expected to hear, oh, we're going to have a conference in October or something, and or we're planning a conference for 2025 or something like that. But you know, we've got dates, we've got an event, we've got a name, we got a venue. So when did you start planning for BlackCon?
So I'm sorry that, and I guess I'm not sorry. I'll say, just to bring it back again to white supremacy culture, but like before we answer that question,
sure.
I think again, and first off, everything that you're saying is absolutely true and it's absolutely valid. But again, only white supremacy culture, I think, would kind of make us think that, like, again, this sense of urgency, and that we just have, all of us, any of us have like this bona fide right to know the intricacies of any organization, because I just know for me personally, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, I don't know if I really think that about other organizations. I feel like there may be something to consider that for, you know, this Black organization, this need to know, especially again in this urgent kind of sense, is something that I don't know. I interrogate a lot myself, and I hope that other people will as well. As far as when we started planning the conference,
before you go there, Cammie, one thing I also want to share with that, and because I echo the sentiment of white supremacy, and also I do want to share that we understood what it was like for us to be away. We felt that pressure immensely, right? Because again, we also recognize who we serve, our community, and they also wanted to hear from us, despite, you know, the desire to know really quickly of things that are going on. We just knew that that appetitive was there. We knew that the MO was there, where people were like, what's going on with Baba? Are they okay? We want to help. And for us to be silent during that time was not us intentionally staying silent. We had to get things done before we could speak about anything. I don't know if for your listeners who hold or operate businesses, but there are things that you need to make sure that you take care of before you can speak on something like violence publicly to a space, right? So again, we needed to take care of each other, number one, but also we needed to make, before we could even say anything, we need to make sure the organization was going to be okay. And so again, recognizing that there were people who wanted to hear from us, we wanted to speak as soon as we could, but also we had a duty to our same community that we, you know, had to withhold information from for a short time. We had a duty to make sure that we did it correctly. And so that is what took us a bit of time, but at no point did we want to be silent. At no point did we want to not be operating, but this was necessary, again, because we're thinking about the future and not just the moment. And when we think about the moment, again, going back to Cammie's point, white supremacy says act now, act now, act now. But when we're thinking about the future, we're thinking about, okay, wait, let's take a breath. Let's figure out what's best and then let's move forward. So I just wanted to also add to that point.
I think too, it's really like, it's hard to kind of to almost like do to not do the thing that you've been so heavily reinforced for doing. You know what I mean? So for all of us, it was very much like, we need to put something out. We need to put, you know what I mean? And without us even actually considering, like, how am I as a human even experiencing everything that's going on? You know what I mean? And I think especially like for me, I feel like as a Black woman, I'm taught like specifically to care about other people and to take care of other people and to think about myself last and all of these things. And what that looked like on an organizational level was a whole bunch of us kind of like trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we take care of our outward community, knowing that internally, like so many things were just kind of like bleeding out. And so it was really, really hard. And I appreciate, Denisha, you saying that, because I mean, and it still is hard, right? Where we're like, we're trying to do something that no one has modeled for us, but that we know, or at least professionally, but that we know, again, like in this ancestral kind of way, is exactly what we're supposed to be doing, which is really, really hard. So even kind of thinking about the conference and when we started planning it, we had to kind of, you know, just like with any of our clients, we had to establish a new baseline. We had to really kind of establish also that, you know, we're still maintenancing and retaining, you know, all of these things that we've been working on before we could be like, okay, like we're here and we can actually do this. And I think it's really symbolic, as Denisha, you mentioned, the mayor of Baltimore. I think it's so symbolic as well, this wasn't intentional, by the way, but just, I'm just reflecting on it right now, how symbolic it is that we're having it in Baltimore, knowing that the mayor has not only that history, but even currently, like when the bridge went down, like literally less than 12 hours later, people were still asking of him to do things. I don't know, like, I just feel this sense of peace and this sense of collectivism in a way that before discovering Baba, I just was so yearning for. And I think, like, with all of the work that we're doing, I'm really excited about BlackCon because, one, it's really going to be centered on us as a people. We're having just a Black ass experience in a way that is so still new to the field of behavior analysis. Even with, like, so many, like, Black focused or even, like, non-Black but non-white focused spaces, but a place where it can really be centered on us and our entirety. That's always been, like, the goal since we started planning this BlackCon. So I'm really, really excited.
And we knew that, again, we were more than a conference space, like Cammy said, and also that space is something that we all vie for every single year. Initially, we thought, let's do a virtual space because we know we can do it really well. However, again, giving people hybrid options, the ones who want to love on each other. I haven't seen you. Someone commented on my LinkedIn who I met prior and she said, I'll be there. And I literally just bust out like, oh my gosh, because I can't wait to see her. Right. And so that part of the space is beautiful and we need that. We need time to celebrate with one another. I know that when thinking about having BlackCon this year, I really wanted the board to have a space to celebrate everything that they've done. Again, can you imagine meeting once per week with a board for hours and then being asked to go and do some more grueling work within 6 months? Like, we are relayering things that we needed years ago, right? And again, it's been a learning experience for everyone to see kind of where, you know, we could have tightened up previously. But I just wanted us to be able to see each other and celebrate. And so that was my personal thought of like seeing everybody in person. But we knew that our community also wanted to love on each other. So that's why we shifted to let's do this. Let's meet up in Baltimore and allow us to just be with each other, sing the Black National Anthem if we want to. And we're going to do our Tamia hustle like every single year. we've been planning it for a while, but also we've been strategically building the components that we needed to build for the conference and for the organization before saying anything. So for some people, it was like, whoa, where did this come from? And for us, it was like, we've been talking about this since that 100-day plan became the 6-month operational pause back in December. So.
Yeah.
I also cannot overstate. She means it when she says 56 points. It probably was more like 50, like seven. I don't feel like 56. It was a lot. And like she said, to really kind of celebrate, you know, the fruits of our labor. And again, to celebrate it in this way with other Black people in this space. So while it may have seemed random, it really is, I think, just going to be such a culmination of so much hard work and so much reflection and so much really just like reorienting. And like she said, just like relaying down some of this foundational work that we've been doing.
Right on. You talk about this being your first mini conference. So what makes this a mini conference? It still looks like it's going for a few days. So.
Yeah, so it is our first mini conference, which means that it's one day of symposiums versus 3 days like we normally have. Gotcha. From there, yes, you will hear from 8 speakers and that embodies the mini component of it, but all the other elements we really kept in place. So we'll be doing our networking event, which is on Friday, and we'll be going to the gala. Everyone loves to get dressed up and again, do their 2-step. And then on Sunday, this will actually be our first year having a members only event. This was actually something during my initial planning that we wanted to happen. So we did a members only online event instead, but we've never seen it in the in-person space just yet. So I'm excited about the reunion. And so, yeah, it has a lot of elements of our major conference, but the mini component of it is the speakers. But the vibes and the feels will be major.
Nice.
I think, too, we can all kind of admit that a big MO to going to conferences is to see other people. Like, yes, I want to learn. Of course, I want to get my CEUs. But like, I haven't seen this person since the last year's conference. You know what I mean? And I really want to spend that time and reconnect with them. And so with all of our events actually being the exact same how they've always been, where it really is that intimate kind of experience for all of our members, we really wanted to make sure that we're still centering that, because that is us. Like, as Black people, that's us. And so, yes, there's 8 speakers this year who are absolutely dynamic. Spoiler alert, we have not told anyone yet who they are, but it is coming. It is coming. But yeah, as far as the gala and everything else, it's just going to be just a good time.
We've got the Super Conference coming up in July. Some big speakers we're going to hear about pretty soon. One thing you've said is that you want Baba to be more than just about conferences. So what other things are you thinking about for Baba, sort of, for the future? You know, we don't have to set a date or anything, but just what are some of the things in those 56, 57 points maybe that will be coming up for folks?
You know, Baba has always been a space of mentorship. It's always been a space of scholarship, yeah. Both within our field and externally to other Black people, really just in the greater ABA space at large. I think when we mean, or at least when I mean, that we're more than just a conference space, and we always have been, we're not as people here just for labor, right? We're here for joy, we're here for community, we're here for just emotionality, we're here having this human experience. And so Baba as an organization, though, yes, has been a conference space, of course, and it's a dynamic conference if you know, we do say so ourselves. But the reality is, if we were just a conference space like that, that wouldn't make us any different than the white supremacy culture that we're really trying to juxtapose.
Yeah,
right?
Fair.
And so between volunteering in our communities, again, scholarships, mentorships, it's deeper, I think, if I had to kind of sum it up than just CEUs.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. I think every question I'm asking, I'm kind of looking for an answer that kind of fits into, you know, how I've always seen, you know, these associations, conferences and whatnot operate. I'm expecting, you know, are there going to be more monthly CEUs? Are there going to be, you know, more article study groups, or, you know, all the sort of standard practices that we see, you know, in kind of, you know, these ABA groups, which, you know, aren't bad in and of themselves. I mean, it's good to study articles. It's good to, you know, get CEUs and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think you folks are really trying to kind of model, you know, a different approach to things right from kind of the beginning. And I think for some folks, especially, you know, someone like me, I think what this is going to take for, I think, a lot of folks is taking more points, time to kind of reflect and sort of, you know, look at yourself and sort of think about a lot of the points you folks are bringing up.
Even within that, right, like the monthly CEUs, like, we've always been intentional, for example, on who is presenting. Mm-hmm. So obviously centering Black individuals who are presenting, but even with non-Black individuals presenting, we've always been sure to make sure that there is some value alignment, for example.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that oftentimes gets missed is like I can get a CEU right from anywhere, right? Especially because it's not like our governing body specifies, you know, you have to go to this specific person or on this specific topic or whatever. And I think the thing that oftentimes is missed from non-Black individuals is like, there's a reason why I want to go to this Black BCBA who's presenting on maybe this exact same topic as a non-Black BCBA. Like there's like nuance, right, to that. And it's also something really simplistic about it, right? Where it's like, I want to go where I'm represented. Because it's deeper than me just going to get this education for this CEU. It's really a matter of like, again, this communal kind of way of being. And so, yes, like, CEUs and things like that are important, of course, but BABA has always been, I think, a place of just magic. I don't know a better way to say it, like, because it's deeper than just our governing body giving us like certifying us.
Yes. Again, everything Cammy just said, as we look forward to what's next for BABA, the goal is to continue to embody that feeling and make sure that we are prioritizing the voices of our community. And that will look like CEUs, as we do and have always done, but really making sure to focus on who are the voices that we're hearing from, right? Because our community also wants to hear from our community, and we are gatekept out of other communities. So who better to bring our voices than us? So we want to make sure we're doing that. We do want to make sure that we're continuing to teach our community. If you want mentorship, if you want collaboration, we want to provide that. We have expanded some of our committees, for example, and we are going to be doing things that we have not done before. But the one thing that I can share to you about those committees is that we're going to be opening up BABA. We've never done that before. Mm. So what do I mean by opening up BABA?
Yeah.
We are going to be inviting our members to be with us in this movement, to be with us in our steps towards change for our community. So if you have a skill set, if you have a passion, if you have a desire to propel our community forward, we are asking you to join us when we reopen. We will pull out a call for committee members, and you can say, I want to help do this. I want to help lead mentorship. I want to help lead the CEU events. I am trying really hard not to tell everyone what our new committees are just yet. But when you do see what we've offered up, because it's different. Like, we have about 6 new committees coming, because again, we want to think about our community needing a wraparound love. That's one of the biggest things. We will have more people's voices that are part of the process to say, this is what we want BABA to be about, and this is also how we want to serve our community. So that is one big expectation that I can't wait to see come to fruition when we start getting people to say, I want to join that committee. I want to be part of this committee, because the community we need each other to push through and to push forward. So that is one big change you can at least expect, Ben.
Cool. So
you heard it first, Ben. Yeah, I just want to say, like,
yay. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I was hoping to get a little bit of something. I appreciate that. So kind of just, it's May right now. What are maybe some dates and other information that folks want to be thinking about if they want to, you know, hit up BlackCon this year?
Well, the biggest one is that, I'm sorry, the biggest one is that our early registration is coming to an end soon. So I'm not sure like when this podcast will be released, but please like register for the early registration that ends on May 8th. And so again, I'm not sure if the podcast will be released before then or after then, but hopefully everyone registers for early registration then. me and Denisha were like fighting to get off mute. So I'll let you say what's next.
Thank you. And then after you've registered for the conference, we would love for you to stay tuned because we're doing things a little bit different this year. We're actually doing something called Black Comm Week, Black Community Week, which also sprinkle, sprinkle. There you go, Ben, something special. but it's a week long engagement of community. So during that time, we'll offer up a few different events leading up to the conference, but we'll see each other in virtual spaces. And then we will end Black Community Week with Black Con, with our mini conference. So that is what you can look forward to in July. It's not just going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but you will get us for 5 additional days as well. So we are very excited about Black Con Week.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, I won't lie. The moment Cammy emailed me about doing this podcast, I just suddenly got all the good feels back from being in Detroit last year. And I think a lot of folks have gotten those feels. And I've really seen the vibe online. There's been lots of sharing, lots of talk, lots of excitement. People are pumped. So, you know, of course, there's going to be a few folks here and there that, you know, wish they heard things sooner or wish they knew more information. And I think I think your points about white supremacy and the speed of things are going to be a point of reflection for a lot of folks. I know they will be for me. Because, you know, why am I in a rush? Why does my mind need to have this information right away? Why does that matter? I think in the whole scheme of things, you know, as you folks start rolling, folks are going to quickly forget that there even was a pause, and really be focused on kind of all the good stuff that's happening going forward. So, you know, Denisha, Cammy, I'm super humbled that you asked kind of come on here and share this information with me. I think there's a lot of places you could have gone to get this info out. So I'm super grateful that you were willing to come do that with us. And I think everyone's stoked. I think it's going to be great. And I think everyone's really happy with, what's been happening and the work you've been kind of doing behind the scenes. And I think folks can't wait to get to Baltimore and celebrate and enjoy community. So, you know, thank you both for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. I really just want to just take the time also to give you your flowers, not only just as obviously a podcaster, but just as a person. Like, I think you do such a good job of just modeling humanity in a way that is very different and very indicative, I think, of your values as well. So thank you for, of course, supporting just me and Denisha individually. Thank you for supporting BABA ongoingly as an organization. And thank you for your patience and me responding back to your email about, you know, coming on. Truly, like, we really, really appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having us here. This is my first appearance on your show, so it's been a great conversation. Thank you for that. I also just really want to thank our members who have continued to show us grace through this time, who have continued to just give us positive thoughts, and also have been wanting and willing to step in. We have heard you and we can't wait to welcome you into BABA on the committee side and or on the leadership side. But thank you all so much for being gracious towards us during this difficult time. Again, we will not stop working to build the legacy that was dreamt up by Kat Jackson. And I really just want to continue to pay homage to her for her thoughtfulness about getting us together. I also want to pay homage to Davina Blair, who was our first president, who, again, I wouldn't be here if it was not for her, who said, hey, like, you know, I'm going to make sure the board knows who you are. Right. And so I want to thank those key players for me. One last thing I do want to say, as you were saying about thinking about white supremacy and why do I want to know this information, I just want to tack a little bit further in that statement. When considering white supremacy and why I want to know something quickly, while there are actual people who were harmed because that's one major component that I just don't want to be left out of the equation. There are actually people who were harmed as a result of things that happened in 2023. And they deserved healing through that time. And so I just would invite people to expand kind of the context around this rush for information and as opposed to a rush for healing and restoration.
Love that. Awesome. All right. Thanks again, folks.
And before we wrap, I just want to say too, really, really quickly, so to the rest of our e-board, so to Dominique, to Tiana, to Kenya, to Walita, to Erica, Melissa, Jackie, Letitia, thank you all. And I'm just so excited to co-serve with Denisha. It is such an honor and a privilege to be serving alongside of all of you all. And yes, I'm so excited for us to all get together at BlackCon.
Great.
I hate to do it. One last
one. Do it. I love it.
And shout out to our advisors. I really want to give a big, big shout out to Angelica Nikki Gray. She has been, it's so interesting because I feel like she's one of our board members because of the amount of work that she's been doing on behalf of BABA. So I just really want to say, Nikki, that you are a true gem and we value you. And to all of our advisors, we value you.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody.